Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
So we have a part to play in every agenda of God. There is something that you must do. You don't just sit down and everything just aligns itself for you. No. That is the mind of laziness. So we have to figure out what are some of the things that are in us that are endangering our tomorrow. It's not that demons are fighting us. No, we are the problem. So we started speaking about pride. Pride is one of the big problems that bring us down. Because when you become proud, sooner or later you open your mouth and say something that you are not supposed to say. You begin to say things that I'm greater than God. You'll be shocked that it can come out of your own mouth. You know that pride now is having its way with you. And the Bible says that pride comes before the fall. It means that when you have start having pride or being proud, the next thing that is coming is a fall. It means you will lose anything that you have attained over life. Any status you have attained, any position you have attained, it's endangered when you are proud. Your marriage is in danger when you are proud. Relationships in your life are in danger when you are proud. Then we talked about stubbornness. I like the way the Bible, especially the King James, it calls it being stiff-necked. It means your neck is hard. It cannot be led or guided or directed. And one major thing that God says about being stiff-necked or stubborn is that when you are like that, you resist the Holy Spirit. You start fighting God himself, the person who is sent to help you. Am I in church or I've gone somewhere? Yeah, so quiet. Say, neighbor, in this church, we don't allow sleeping. Just shake your neighbor just in case they are thinking they are going to doze off. It's the wrong place. Hallelujah. So we have to learn to have a leadable character, especially where our God is concerned. Hallelujah. God must be able to lead you. God must be able to guide you. For example, I really want to continue building. You know, when I think about this roof, my heart just wants to finish it. But what I saw this morning has made me say, okay, let's delay it a little bit. There must be a reason why God is giving this type of direction. And I don't want to start something, then in the middle, I cannot finish it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So I myself have to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. I have to learn to be guided by Him. Even if He leads me into things that are not so nice. I remember one day in the middle of the night I woke up and I heard a voice. And the voice said to me, I want you to fast a dry fast for 8 days. I said, Satan, I bind you in Jesus' name. Then as I was preparing myself, getting ready, I said, would Satan really lead me to fast for 8 days? And I said, I'm fighting God. And I said, Father, forgive me. I shall obey. Because fasting is not nice. Hallelujah. Even though I'm a pastor, it's not nice to fast. It's not nice. Especially when everyone else is eating. And you're the only one fasting. Even the smell of the cooking is enough just to shake you a little bit. Hallelujah. Tell him, never say, don't be stiff-necked. So all our messages are recorded. Please make sure you get what we have preached. Very powerful things. It will help you. Hallelujah. For example, one of the things I said about pride is that it is a work of the flesh. And in Galatians chapter 5 from verse 19, one of the works of the flesh is witchcraft as a work of the flesh. Now, when I say that, you say, it can't be about me. I'm not a witch. But I explain that witchcraft is not just casting spells. Witchcraft is the attitude that wants to dominate by manipulation and by intimidation. All this is something that pride is doing. So you are in a relationship, you are a woman, you want to dominate that relationship. You want things to go the way you want it to go. So you begin to manipulate your husband by, misbehaving, by not cooking or by burning the food or whatever, until the guy says, okay, we'll do whatever you want us to do. It's a source of pride. It's coming out of pride. So please get the messages. Very powerful things for you. Then we started speaking about being lazy, laziness. I thought I would hear a loud amen.
Amen.
And we are still talking about laziness even today. Amen. Today I want to talk about spiritual dangers of being lazy, of laziness. It is dangerous to be lazy. Proverbs 26 from verse 13. The book of Proverbs, chapter 26, we are taking it from verse 13. Today when I came here in the morning, I found people cleaning and getting the church ready. And I found someone what, you are here also? And I said, Pastor, they are listening to your message. I said, powerful. Hallelujah. Proverbs 26 and verse 13. Are you there? The Bible says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieved him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God. I think it's powerful. In verse 15, it says, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieved him to bring it again to his mouth. Hallelujah. And last week I told you that this means being incapable or not being able to provide for yourself. Do you remember? That is a sign of laziness. There are many reasons why people cannot provide for themselves. But one of the reasons is laziness. Some people are just lazy. It's a reality, it's truth. Just lazy. Some people, it's not that they can't get a job, they are just lazy. Whew. Thank you, Mom Ruth. You are preaching to me. You are encouraging me. You don't agree with me? Glory be to God. But there's many reasons. Some people, they've got demonic forces that are fighting them. Some people, it's many, many, many reasons why people cannot get employment. But one of them is laziness. And laziness is something that, you can just wake up and do something about your life. You don't need anybody else to come and do anything. The power is in your hands. Are you listening to me, somebody? May nobody here be sitting at home because they are lazy. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Can I hear a louder amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we want to take this from a spiritual perspective. And we began to talk about the fact that this means that sometimes people are lazy to feed themselves spiritually. And how do you feed yourself spiritually? By reading your Bible, by praying. These things are necessary for your spiritual well-being. That's why I hate it when I see pastors say, touch your screen and all your problems will disappear. It's a lie of the devil. Yes, there are some problems where it's demonic forces, and by touching that screen, you can be free. But some problems, they just need you to wake up in the morning and move around and look for what you are looking for. And so for you to be a strong believer, you need to sit up, open your Bible and read. Amen. You need to wake up in the morning and pray. Amen. And pray. Amen. Someone say pray. So we mustn't be lazy to do spiritual things. When we become lazy to do spiritual things, it's very dangerous for our lives. It's extremely dangerous. The Bible says, like a roaring lion, the devil is walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He's searching for the house that he can enter and destroy. He's searching for the future that he can enter and destroy. He's prowling, he's watching, he's hunting for the person. You know, naturally, when lions hunt, they will find a group of animals and they will surround those animals. And each of the lions will be looking for the animal that has some kind of injury or weakness. The one that seems like it's limping becomes the target. The one that seems like it's weaker than the others becomes the target. Tell your neighbor, say, don't be the target for the devil. I say it like a soldier, don't be a target for the enemy. He's searching. And when he notices that you are not prayerful, when he notices that you don't read your Bible, you are a limping Christian, you become a target. Am I talking to somebody? In my church, we do not sell oil, we do not sell water, we do not sell. You must read the Bible for yourself. I can't hear your amens. You have to rise up and read for yourself. When the enemy comes in the dream, where are you going to find time to look for oil in the dream? Where? The word of God must be in the heart. You must be able to say, it is written in your dream. You are saying it in your dream. It is written. Am I talking to somebody? Now, I want to show you something. Come to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Chapter 6. We'll take it from verse 1. Proverbs chapter 6, reading from verse 1. Are you there? It says, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Verse 3. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Hallelujah. Now, King James can sound like Chinese sometimes. But basically what he's saying here is, let's say your friend, you're with your friend, and your friend maybe is in debt. They owe 5,000 rand or 3,000 rand. And you say, my friend, don't worry, I'll cover it. And then a few days later, when you check your finances, you realize that, actually, I cannot cover it. The Bible says, because you said, I will cover you, you have snared yourself. You have entrapped yourself. So Solomon here says, my son, let me give you some advice. when you have realized that you have snared yourself, he says, go and deliver yourself. And he says, make it speedy. Run to your friend and say, my friend, actually, I thought that I could cover the 3,000, but of an honest truth, I cannot cover it. And the Bible says, be fast. Now, what I love about what it says here, he says, go and deliver thyself. In other words, the deliverance is in your hand. It is in your power to save yourself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let's continue. I think we're on verse 4. In fact, let's start from verse 3 again. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Verse 4. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Media, please help me. Hallelujah. He says, give no sleep to your eyes. One version says, don't give unnecessary sleep to your eyes. So the sleep that is necessary, the sleep that is unnecessary. So he says, do not give your eyes unnecessary sleep. Why? Be in a hurry to go and save yourself. Deliver thyself from the troubles that you are about to enter. Now, these are not friendly words for a lazy person, because the Bible keeps saying, deliver thyself. But the reality and the truth of the matter is that the deliverance is in your hands. If you wake up and become a prayer person, repato shapataka kota palakate perabakapa. Oh God, I worship you. Oh God, I bless your name. Oh God, walk with me. Oh God, deliver me. Oh God, save me from my troubles. You will be saved. But you find someone who is in deep problems. And they'll choose the easy way out. Go to a sangoma somewhere. Give me something I can drink. Give me something I can bath with. Give me something, then my problems are over. Or touch the screen. And my problems are over. On a Sunday like this, instead of being church, we are busy touching screens. That's why your problems are not going away. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the Bible says, deliver yourself. Set yourself free from the struggles of life, from the trials of life. And sometimes to deliver yourself is difficult. Sometimes it means going back to school. Sometimes it means that you wake up, you walk, searching for a job. Sometimes it means that you go and humble yourself because you said something you shouldn't have said, and now everything is ruined. It's difficult to do such things, but the Bible says, deliver, don't give yourself sleep. As long as that trouble is still alive, awake, do something. Save yourself as a bird that is saving itself from the hunter. Oh, the amens are not blessing me. At work, something has happened and you are afraid that, I'm about to lose my job. Deliver thyself. Run to your manager and say, look, this has happened. Deliver yourself before the thing blows up on your face and you lose everything. Tell your neighbor, say, the truth shall set you free. Am I talking to somebody so far? Now, all this spiritually, you can help yourself a lot if you'll just not be lazy. If you can pray. Some of us, they've already given up on life. And I ask, have you prayed? Dololo. But how can you give up if you haven't actually actively sought God? What does the Bible say about the problems we are going through? Nothing. So someone must read for you. Someone must pray for you. Someone must search for you. Why can't you rise up and read? Sometimes the answer is in the Bible. Sometimes you don't know what to do. You don't know whether to go left. You don't know whether to go right. You don't know which decision to make. Sometimes you just open the scriptures and you read, and to your shock, what you are reading is exactly what you are going through. And suddenly you have light on what you have to do in life. Are you listening to me, somebody? It's in your hands. You can save yourself. Sometimes you see Christians being maltreated like nobody's business. Pastors walking on top of them. You see pastors feeding them rats and snakes. And you watch a proper Christian, a nice gentleman, a nice woman being made to eat snakes, kneeling down. And you ask yourself, what is wrong with this generation? It's because of laziness. Am I talking to somebody? Tell your neighbor, say, don't give your eyes unnecessary sleep. Yeah. Arise and save yourself from the troubles. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, if you will wake up and pray concerning your life, you wake up and pray concerning your future, your prayers will do so much good for you. But you have to pray. Some of us, we start praying day one. We are praying. We're excited. And wow, today the prayer was powerful. Day two, you are praying. Wow, I love it. Day three, you are tired. You better pray. Whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, you wake up and pray. Zapotata, zofatapata, zepatapa, zopadapa, zopandaraba, lovolopodapa, robade. Sometimes you are so sleepy that you have to wake up and bath so that you can be fresh for praying. Zopandola, lepanterik, revadodo. Wake up and save yourself. Don't give yourself unnecessary sleep. Save yourself. Save your children. Save them. Your prayers can save your children. He just, oh, you know, you're waiting on my piercing. The drug dealers leading in. You're just talking to your friend. You are just venting to your friends. Why don't you wake up and vent to God? Say, Lord, you have put me here. This is my home. This is where my house is. My king. Drug dealers cannot have their way. My children will not be a drug addict. My children will not be snared by drugs. You just want to touch the screen. It can't be that easy. It can't be. It can't be that easy. You just want to bath with something. It can be. You have to arise and contend in the spirit and fight for your future. Fight for the destiny of your children. Fight. Fight. And this thing is warfare. Normally, like for example, you know Russia and Ukraine. How long ago have they been fighting? They are still fighting till today. That's how warfare is. It's long. That means there'll be a series of battles that you have to fight. Battle after battle. Battle after battle. Battle after battle. And if you win enough battles, you win the war. I don't know whether I'm talking to somebody. Many Christians are too laid back. Many Christians are too weak. Many Christians, they are not active in the spirit. Hallelujah. You don't like my message? Come with me to Isaiah 56. The book of Isaiah, chapter 56, and we'll read verse 10. I'll give you just a few spiritual dangers of laziness. Isaiah chapter 56, we'll take it from verse 10. Are we there? Now, the first one I'll give you today is that spiritual laziness causes spiritual blindness, ignorance, and dumbness. Spiritual laziness causes spiritual blindness, ignorance, and dumbness. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 10, the Bible says, "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber." Watchmen here are prayer warriors. Watchmen here are Christians. Watchmen here are believers. God says that my watchmen, the ones who believe in the true God, the ones who know the truth, the ones who go to church on Sunday, the Bible says they are blind. Spiritually, they are blind. They cannot see. They are blind. My watchman. Imagine if the watchman is blind. The one who's supposed to see danger afar off is blind. That city is in trouble. That community is in trouble when the believers are blind. The children, the school, the destinies, the futures are in danger when the believers are blind, when the believers cannot see, when nobody will arise in the morning to pray and talk to God and contend. One of my daughters came and told me something that happened in their school. One of the children in the school started manifesting demons. And when they try to help her, the demon will come out of one person and go to the other person. And then another person will start manifesting and then go to another person. About 5 children, the demon was just moving around. Until one of the teachers came and started sharing the word of God with them. That's when things began to normalize. And I said, my God, because you know in our schools, pastors normally come in the assemblies to preach and share the word of God. Now because of coronavirus, no pastor is allowed to go and preach. And now the devil has a free time to do whatever he wants to do with the children. I tell you, when the believers are sleeping, they are blind. Your child can be 5'2", being possessed by demonic powers. Your child can be 5'2", being captured by drugs and all types of things. But you are spiritually blind. You can't see it. You can't sense it. You can't feel it. Because you are lazy to wake up and pray. I cover my children in the name of Jesus. No enchantment against this one. No divination against this one. You must open your mouth and pray for your child. But if you are blind, it's a problem. Recently, I went to fetch my child from school. And as we were coming back, she was saying to me that herself, and she mentioned 2 or 3 other girls, that they are the prettiest, they are the nicest. I said, what? I almost stopped the car with the anger that I was feeling. And I said, you never, ever, ever again should I hear you talk like that. Everyone is the nicest. Everyone is the prettiest. You don't try to make yourself. Pride is just trying to envelop my child and I can't see it. I rebuked her nicely, properly. And I said, I'm going to tell your mother. Sometimes when I say, I'll tell Daddy, please don't tell Mommy. I said, I'm going to tell her what you are saying. And when we were together, the three of us, I said, I remembered. I said, hey, listen to what your child told me. And I told them, when she heard, she became the same anger I had. It was resurrected in her. And she said, you will never speak like that again. Now I see her when she tries to say, she said, Daddy, everyone is pretty. Né? I said, yes, everyone is pretty. Because I'm sensitive. I'm sensitive. We don't allow it to go too far before we stop it. We can't be blind spiritually to certain things that are happening around our children, around our families, around our homes, around our communities. We can't be blind as believers. It is dangerous to be blind. It's dangerous. Many years ago, my grandfather started drinking. And from what I hear, when he was younger, a young gentleman, he was drinking. And he drank so much that I hear that he would take my uncle, who was young at that time, and if somewhere there were construction, they'll hide behind some of the stones that are there, and they'll be just throwing people who are passing by. That's the type of drinking that my grandfather used to drink. So now in his old age, he starts drinking again. And certain traits that were there in the past started arising again. Then one day, in my sleep, I see my grandfather standing in his house. And I see somebody riding a motorbike around him. Riding the motorbike around him. When the person noticed that I can see him, he started swearing at me. And I realized that, oh, this is the reason for the behavior, the new behavior. When you found the reason, then it's easy to pray. Because now you target your prayer to the specific problem. We cannot be spiritually blind. Please, it's important. One time, a certain pastor, him and his wife, they had been married for a long time. And all of a sudden, she started feeling that, but yeah, I married an ugly woman. These were just the thoughts that were running in his mind. My wife is so ugly. And the wife is the snoring type. So at night, when... Sometimes at night, when the woman will be sleeping, she'll start snoring. And now, during the day, he felt that he's ugly. Now the ugliness is being, the snoring is making it worse. And not that the woman just began snoring. She had been snoring ever since they got married. But all of a sudden, the snoring is irritating him. So one day, he woke up in the middle of the night, and he just felt like praying. And he was praying. That's also sometimes why it's important to speak in tongues. You see, many Christians have a problem with speaking in tongues. You don't know. These are the things that make you have a lot of problems and you cannot fix. Because sometimes you don't know what is the problem. But speaking in tongues, you can target the thing without you knowing that you are targeting it. So this pastor was just speaking in tongues. And then suddenly he heard a noise and something ran out of the house. When that thing ran out of the house, suddenly he saw his wife and said, wow, I married the most beautiful woman in the whole world. My wife is so beautiful. And he went and he slept and she was snoring. And she said, the snoring sounded like music. And he says that when the wife doesn't snore, he can't sleep. He needs the snoring just to get into that nice gear of sleeping. Hallelujah. But you see, spiritually he was awake. When the enemy was trying to attack the marriage, when he started praying, the thing that was trying to break the marriage was discovered and it ran out of the house. And the marriage was saved. So, you see that? They said the watchmen are sleeping. They love to slumber. Slumber, they are zellering. The Bible says they are blind. The Bible says they are ignorant spiritually. They don't know anything. They can't interpret anything spiritual. When they dream, they don't know. Every dream they have, konumuntom lawyer. Every dream we are lawyer. Every dream they are bewitching you. Every dream you have. Why is everyone bewitching you specifically? Hallelujah. And the Bible says they are dumb dogs. Dumb means the inability to speak. Because the power is in the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You create your life through what you speak. You enjoy life through what you speak. Everything you are experiencing currently is because of what you have said. Many years ago, I was walking with my friends, the three of us. We were walking. I remember we were walking up the Union buildings. I don't know why we were going there. And as we were walking, one was standing there, another was standing here, and I was standing here. And the first one spoke, and he said, "I don't feel like I'm going to finish my trick." And the second one also joined and said, "I also feel the same thing, that I will not finish my trick." When it came to me, I shut up my mouth because I didn't feel what they were feeling. I was feeling that I will finish my trick. The first one who opened his mouth and said he won't finish my trick is dead as we speak. He died before we finished my trick. There was a wedding. He actually invited me to the wedding. One of the siblings was getting married. And my parents were very strict when I was growing up. I was even afraid to ask them. I said, "My friend, I can't go." And I heard that he was driving a car and he was in a head-on collision and he died. Had I gone to that wedding, I would be dead talking to you here. The second one, he was fighting at school. He said to the person, "I'm coming back." And he went and he took a screwdriver to try and stab the person. The person took the screwdriver and stabbed him. Every time I think about that day, I thank God that I shut my mouth. I didn't say anything. Everything that is happening in your life is because of what you say. So when Christians are not talking, it's dangerous. When Christians are not speaking faith, it's dangerous. When parents are not speaking good things over their children, it's dangerous. So we just become lazy. You get home. Udlala ngo TV. At least a remote mo. Holy. This a big guy. And you watch TV, you are tired, you go and sleep. You wake up, you go to work. You don't say anything. You don't speak to your God. You've become dumb spiritually. You've become blind spiritually. You've become ignorant spiritually because you love to sleep. Tell your neighbor, say, "Save yourself. Don't be lazy." Many Christians, they are always, "That pastor is more powerful than that other pastor is more." It's foolishness, pure stupidity to talk like that. You are making pastors sangomas now. Every time they have to perform. Arise and pray. Let it be that my prayers and your prayers become agreement, where two or three shall agree, touching anything on the earth, I will do it for them. So please, don't be spiritually blind. Are you listening to me? Don't be spiritually dumb. You don't talk, you don't say anything. What you have to know is that if you are not talking, it doesn't mean that the devil is also quiet. The devil is talking all the time. One day, one of my church members came to me and said, "Pastor, who is Judas in the Bible?" And so I explained who Judas is. And he said, and I said, "Why are you asking me who is Judas?" And he said, "My teacher from school calls me Judas." Is it, you are not talking, but someone is talking. And that teacher is basically prophesying that this boy will become a Judas. This boy will become a betrayer. And you are not talking about your children. You are not saying they are blessed. You are not saying their future is great. You are not saying that they will escape trouble. You are dumb spiritually. You can't speak. It's a danger. Even for your own life. One time, I was driving to work, and fortunately that morning, it was lots of traffic. Then an 18-wheeler truck just decided to come into my lane, and the guy drove into me. 18-wheeler. But fortunately that one, there wasn't much traffic, so there was not hurt. But my car, there's still the dent. I don't fix the dents in my cars because to me, they are scars that bring shame to the devil. Where he tried to kill me, but I'm still standing. Hallelujah. For a soldier's pride is his scars. When you see the scar here, you say, it's when we were fighting in a certain place. Somebody tried to kill me, and I survived. And I swung my sword, and I chopped off his head. That's the warrior's pride. I listen to what I'm saying. Then a couple of months later, I was driving back from work. This time I was driving 120 kilometers per hour. And a truck, 18-wheeler, came and hit me. Poof! And as it hit me, I said, I thought it was over. I thought I was dead. Just imagine. 18-wheeler. It's not a small... To my shock... When the truck hit me, I rather gained control of the car. And when I realized that I'm still alive, I parked my car and stood outside and I just watched and I said, today was today. Today was today. And then about 2-3 years ago, we invited a friend of mine who's a prophet to come and preach in one of our Easter conferences. So my wife and I were having dinner with him and just discussing things. And all of a sudden, he says, they tried to take you out with an 18-wheeler truck. And as he's saying that, I'm thinking, have I told this guy what had happened? And then I said, sorry, excuse me, have I told you that I've gone through this? Then he said, no, I'm just saying what God is telling me to say. And then he said, arrows came from Naumapias and arrows came from your workplace. There was someone at my workplace who didn't like me for being me and decided to send arrows and try to kill me. There are people that you think that they are your friends. They smile with you, but in the heart say, how did they make it? They were supposed to be dead. You're dumb spiritually, and girl, you won't talk. You won't wake up and pray. They'll finish you. All of a sudden, everything at work, everything you touch is falling apart. Everything you do is not working. No matter what you try, it's just falling apart. Somebody may be trying you. But because you won't wake up to pray, everything they try is working against you. Everything they try against your children is working. Everything they try against your job is working. Everything they try against your relationship is working because you are dumb. To wake up and pray. You can save yourself. You can deliver yourself. One time at my workplace, everyone was saying, you know, because one of the guys there, he was training to be a sangoma. And I think he even became a sangoma. So everyone in the workplace, they say they dream him, and then he's doing certain things in their dream. And they were asking me, have you dreamt him? I said, let him try to come to my dream. Let him try. I want to see him. I want to see something. Lo and behold, I dreamed the guy. And I don't know what he was trying to do. And I said to him, you better be careful. You are not playing with a small boy here. And I hit him with my head like this, just a little bit. The way I hit him, he almost died. When I came to work, I said, where's the guy? They said, he's sick. He called that he's sick. He can't come to work. I said, you are trying the wrong person. Because you are dealing with someone who prays, who knows how to pray. And when I pray, there are certain scriptures that I've reserved. Just try me. Let me be aware that you are trying me. I will blow your mind with prayer. You can't be dumb spiritually. You can't. You can't be blind. You have to. Your eyes must be open. Your eyes. Sometimes when I'm asleep, my eyes open and my body is asleep and I'm just watching. One time I was dreaming and in the middle of my dream, I stopped the dream. I said, where does this dream come from? Suddenly my eyes opened in my room and I saw a woman standing there, a big woman with 5 demons standing there. And I said, in the name of Jesus, come out! And they all ran out. I stopped the dream. I said, something is strange about the dream. And I said, where is the source of the dream? Suddenly, I saw myself waking up in my room. My body was still asleep, but my spirit was awake. When I realized the source of the dream, I cast that thing out of my room. You can't be blind spiritually. If you become lazy spiritually, demons can come and sleep next to you. And they put their leg on you. Because they are blind. And you will be going from church to church, checking for the most powerful pastor. Hi, my Shumayala, lo, nyamuza mzalo, nyamfila. No, just wake up and pray. Stop feeling pastors. Wake up and pray. Hallelujah. I know many people don't like me because I preach the way I preach. It's fine. But you just check your life. You've been going to all the most powerful pastors, but your life is not changing. Because you haven't got the fact that you have to do something about your life. Am I talking to somebody? So, spiritual laziness causes spiritual blindness, ignorance, and dumbness. Now you'll notice that these are senses. In other words, your spiritual senses become dull. Spiritually, you are not sensitive. And that's a danger. It's a serious danger. That you can be living with the demon inside your house and you don't sense, you don't feel. A heavy attack can be coming against your children. You don't sense, you don't feel, nothing. That's why Paul said, awake, O sleeper, from thy sleep, and Christ shall give you life. A Christian who is not praying, a Christian who is not reading the Bible, is the same as someone who's asleep. And the someone who's asleep spiritually is the same as a dead person. When a person is dead, we can put snakes next to them. They're not going to move because they are dead. We can swear at them. We can do all sorts of things at them. They are dead. They can't move. So prayerlessness, it makes you like a dead person. The demon can come and be dancing around your bed at night. Every time you wake up, you feel tired. Nkari, you've been running a marathon, you've been sleeping, but you wake up feeling tired. The devil has been busy with you. Some of you, they just come, they just pa, 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 in the night. You just wake up, huh? Not sensitive. One time the Lord gave me a vision and I saw some of my church members. I saw, they literally looked like sangomas. I saw them dancing in their homes, beating the drums in their homes. But all these things were happening in the spirit. And I said, so how can somebody be beating a drum and you can't hear it? How can somebody be dancing in your house and you can't hear it? push your neighbor and say, awake, 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 awake. There are things that are extremely expensive. Prayerlessness is expensive. It's expensive. You have to pray. You must. The day the devil visits your home, if you are not prayerful, he will devastate your house. Devastate. Just think about Job. You know, when I pray these days, literally my prayers is, I can kill you with my praying. When David killed Goliath, he first hit him with a stone and the guy died. You think that he will be okay with that? The Bible says he went and took Goliath's sword and chopped off Goliath's head. He makes sure that he's dead. With my praying, I can kill you. Because I've realized that Satan is heartless. He's not playing around. If he would have the opportunity to kill you, he would take you out fast. So also when I pray with the same intensity that he's attacking me with. If you are trying to kill me, I'll try to kill you back. If you want to kill me, you better make sure I die. Because if I don't die, you will likely die. The same intensity you attack me with is coming back to you. Amen. And if you are not careful, you'll come double. Good. I saw Job. I saw the guy, he destroyed all his businesses in one day. Amen. While Job was still trying to fathom what has happened, he killed all his children in one day. Amen. Everything in one day. You thought that the guy would say, ish, but we've killed his children. No, it's enough. No, he went back to God and said, no, touch him and you will see. He wanted more. He wanted more. And you will be quiet when your enemy is so vicious against you. Many years ago, I tell you, the Lord came and told me there are people who want to kill you. And when he told me, I started seeing the people. And the way they hated me, people I've never seen or met in my life, they were so angry. Who does he think he is? I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I said, when I look at them, I don't even know you. But they hated me with passion. But by the grace of God, I'm still standing. And I'm still preaching. And I will not die. I will live in the name of Jesus Christ. And I will die when I'm ready to die. Nobody will kill me in the name of Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. In the name of Jesus. And may that be your story also. Put your hands together for the Lord. Do it very well. Hallelujah. We've run out of time and I've only given you 1 point. And I've got 6 points here prepared. Then the lily grows by the wayside. You are precious, most precious than gold. You are the rose, you are the rose of Sharon, the fairest of them all. You, my heart desires, Lord, you much fairer than the lilies. Most precious. Hallelujah. All right. Let me give you one and then we close. I want to finish this series, but we'll see how the Lord leads us. Hallelujah. Number two, what happens when we are spiritually lazy is that we become greedy. Come with me to verse 11 of Isaiah 56. In fact, let's start from verse 10 so that it's in context. Isaiah 56 and verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Verse 11. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Hallelujah. The Bible says they all look to their own way. You know, when they asked Jesus and said, what is the most important commandment? He said, the first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And he said, the second one, love thy neighbor as you love thyself. Hallelujah. He says, if you do these two things, you fulfill the whole law. Everything written there, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not, thou shalt, all these things, if you love God with all your heart and so on, and you love your neighbor as you love yourself, then you fulfill everything that is written. That's what Jesus said. Are we together? But you see, when believers are lazy spiritually, greed takes over. Then the only person they can see is themselves. They can't see another person. They cannot love another person. And this love here, I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about love where you love the person enough to tell them about Jesus. That's the greatest love. If you say you love your children, but you see them going down to hell, you don't love them. That's why when my daughter spoke like that, I couldn't allow it to continue. I had to crush it from the roots. Because if I allow it, that one guy said to me, what will happen if your daughter falls in love with someone who doesn't know Christ? And now they are trying to get married. I said, that will never happen. You know, he said, but what? I said, it will never ever happen. The person that my daughter will marry will be a born-again believer. I said to the guy, if that ever happens, then I would have failed my child and I would have failed my God, where I have raised someone who doesn't have the spiritual sense to understand that do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I don't love her just as my daughter, but I also love her. She's a soul and she mustn't go to hell. She must know Christ. And she must grow up knowing Christ. I told you the other day, some guy was, our cupboards had burnt down, so they were replacing them. And the one guy was playing some hip hop there. So my daughter went to the guy and said, why are you playing the devil's music? And the guy was shocked. Why are you playing the devil's music? And when my daughter is asking a question, she will not let you go. Then the guy said, your mother is calling you. Then she went and said, mommy, are you calling you? And because my wife could hear the conversation, she said, no, I'm not calling you. And she went back and said, why are you playing the devil's music? And my wife was telling me, I wasn't there. My wife was telling me that he started hearing the guys playing Christian music. And I said, hey, you will learn to stop playing the devil's music in people's homes. Play that stuff in your own home. Hallelujah. So she has the sense. Even when I'm playing, yesterday I was playing a song and she said, daddy, is this song okay? And I said, yes, it's okay. I said, are you sure the song is okay? And she said to me, I love worship music. And I said, that's the best music. So I was playing, you know, there's a Christian singer called Ty Tibret. So his music is, sounds hip-hoppy. So when my daughter heard the hip-hop sound, she said, This can't be right, daddy. I said, no, it's Jesus music. And I said, no, that's okay. Let me play worship music so that there's peace in the car. I love her not just because she's my daughter. I want her to know Christ for herself. And I always pray for my children that will know Christ from a young age. Someone say from a young age. So someone who's sleeping spiritually cannot love in that manner. To ensure that your siblings know Christ. To ensure that your colleagues know Christ. To ensure that everyone around you knows Christ. You are not greedy. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When we say we are doing outreach, we can all do outreach because you care about somebody else. When we are saying we are praying, you can always come and pray because you care about somebody else. It's not just you. It's not just who? Yeah. Your love must grow to more than just loving yourself. It's the lowest kind of love to only love you and to only love your family. It's the lowest kind. You have to learn to love somebody who you are not related to in any way, shape, or form. But you really love them to the point that you are willing to die for them. You are willing to lose everything for them. There's no relationship, but you love the person. I love Naoma Pierce as though I was born here, but I was not born here. But I love Naoma Pierce. And I'm praying for Naoma Pierce. Every day I pray 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 for your children. Every day I pray for your homes. Every day. I don't only pray for myself. One time I was thinking, when last did I pray for myself? Even when I pray for myself, I'm not asking for whatever. I say, oh God, your spirit. Oh God, your spirit. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your spirit. These are my prayers. But someone who is spiritually dull becomes greedy. All they can see is themselves. All they can see is their job. All they can see is their home. All they can see is their wife. All they can see is their children. They can't just see beyond. Can I hear an amen that shows me I'm in church? Ask your neighbor, are you greedy or are you a loving person? Agape love, the God kind of love. Hallelujah. That's why we are seeing all the things that we are seeing here in Naoma Pierce and in the world. People killing each other, people robbing each other. All sorts of things are happening because we've become greedy. It's only ourselves that we can see. Sometimes we love ourselves to the point that we can destroy somebody's life so that ours can be good. What type of rubbish is that? I don't want to prosper on somebody else's misery. That's why I cancel alcohol, I cancel drugs, I cancel. No. I don't want to destroy to make myself good. It's blood money, that type of money. Somebody drinks the alcohol I sell, they are drunk on their way home, they are in a car accident, they are die. Their future is finished. How can I be happy? How can I walk with pride that I know that I've got money, but my money is killing people around me? It's foolish money. Am I talking to somebody? So we have to be awake spiritually so that God can give us his heart and so that we can love the way God loves. We can care for people the way God cares for people. But Pastor, I don't have money. How am I going to? Whatever you have. If you can give 2 rand, that 2 rand is big. If you can tell somebody about Jesus, do you know that Jesus loves you? He came and died for you. That you do not have to die and go to hell. You can go to heaven and be with God forever. That is the greatest type of love you can show anybody. It's the greatest. But when believers start sleeping, because they, Believers are the only people who have this message. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. That's the only way people can be saved. And it's in our mouth. That gospel is in our mouth. But when the believer has become spiritually lazy, who's going to hear that message? Say, never again in Jesus' name will I be lazy spiritual. In Jesus' name. Put your hands together for the Lord. I close with this scripture, Psalms 14, verse 2. Psalms chapter 14 and verse 2. Are we there? The book of Psalms, chapter 14, verse 2. If you are there, say amen. The Bible says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 56, verse 11, it says, the shepherds cannot understand. And here, the Bible is explaining, God is looking to see if there's anyone who understands. And what is it that they are understanding? That they are seeking God. So when someone becomes spiritually lazy, they stop seeking God. Yeah, they'll give all kinds of excuses. I'm staying far now, this, my job, this, that, somebody hurt me, this. But the ultimate is that you have stopped seeking God. And nobody should be able to hurt you to the point that you stop seeking God. Your job can't be so far that you stop seeking God. You can't be so busy that you stop seeking God. Seeking God is the most important thing. If you don't seeking Him, then you don't know why you are here. You are confused. You are lost. The shepherds cannot understand. It means the shepherds have stopped seeking God. Now imagine these are shepherds. Now what will happen to the sheep if the shepherds are not seeking God? The people who are entrusted with God's work are not seeking God. What will happen to the people under them? Somebody showed me a video where somebody was saying that, Nya papa, landelu Jesu. And the person was actually preaching that people should believe in ancestors. And I saw the woman say, oh, Nyakoli, sorry. I said, that woman's apology, it broke my heart. That the person was apologizing for following my Jesus. Because that guy had prophesied that everything is going wrong in her life because she left her ancestors to follow this Jesus. That's why people will go to such places, because the shepherds have stopped seeking God. And people will go to any fool around the corner. And some of these people are fools. Am I in church or you've gone home? Are you still seeking God? Is your heart still hungry for Him? Never ever stop seeking Him. When you stop, know that you've become lazy. Spiritually lazy. The other day I went to one of the Bible study groups and somebody said something. I forgot what they said. And I just asked myself, how many times have I told God that I love Him? You know, I tell God every moment I can that I love Him. Sometimes when I'm just driving my car, I said, sometimes when I'm praying, Lord, I just want to start by saying, I love you. Every time I'm telling Him I love Him, my heart is chasing after Him, is longing for Him. I want to know Him more than I know Him now. Of late, I've been telling my wife that I feel like I don't know God. I feel like I don't know Him. Now, when someone who's a preacher is saying they feel like they don't know God, you must realize that they have seen something that they never experienced before and they are hungry for it. put your hands together for Jesus and give him praise. Are those hands for Jesus or are they for somebody else? Put your hands together for the King of Kings. Hallelujah. So please don't be spiritually lazy. It's very expensive. It's costly to your life. It's costly to your children. It's costly to our community. It's too expensive when you become spiritually lazy. If you don't care for yourself, at least care for your children. If you don't care for your children, at least care for your neighbors. There must be someone that you care for. At least care for yourself, at least. And awake and arise. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Pray for your future. You can break through. Your life can be a sign. Your life can be a wonder. Your life can be a miracle. Put your hands together for Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. I will never be spiritually blind again. I will see the enemy while he's thinking about me. I will see that thought that he's dreaming about me. And I will start answering by fire. I will start hitting back. I will start bombarding the enemy camp. While they just imagine it, while it comes as a thought, then let's trouble that one. I will fire back. I will not let them rest in the name of Jesus. I will not be dumb. I will not keep quiet. I will open my mouth. I will fight back. I will speak concerning my future. I will speak concerning my destiny. I want you to pray for yourself. Ask God to grant you the grace. Ask him to have mercy on you. If you realize that you have been asleep as a spiritual soldier, ask him to have mercy on you and ask him to revive you. Ask him to awaken you. Ask him that you want to have the fire that you used to have and you want that fire to grow. You want it to be stronger than it's ever been before. Open your mouth and pray. Talk to your God, somebody.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.